بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله ما بعد. السلام عليكم. ما شاء الله ما شاء الله الحمد لله. And also we say الحمد لله الذي جعلنا مسلمين. By the way, I'd like to share with you today that there are some people out here. I have some good news and bad news. The good news, more and more people are entering Islam now than ever in the recent history of Islam. That's very good news. The majority of those are women. Some cases, for one man, four women will come to Islam. In some cases, when it's one man, it can be 10 more will be women entering into Islam. In such countries as in the Netherlands, as in Norway, Sweden, and Denmark, and Holland, and so on. And this is according to one scholar there, who is not Muslim, by the way, but he's a historian in Sweden, and I heard him lecture on this subject. And interestingly, he said that all of the women he spoke to in all the different countries, when they would talk to him, he asked them, how you got to Islam? They said, Allah guided me. Now, this is his words on what he said. Allah guided me. He said, but I don't believe it. I said, my God. All of them said the same thing, all different languages, different countries. He said, I can't accept that. I'm a historian. I'm glad I'm not a historian, alhamdulillah. I have some bad news. The Muslims who were born into Islam, on the other hand, are getting away from Islam. So it's a strange combination. We have people coming in and people going out. They're going away from Islam and their responsibilities. And we are under a very heavy attack from the shaitan himself, more now than ever before. We have to be prepared to answer what I call the harsh questions against Islam. They attack every aspect of Islam, from Allah. They say things against Allah, His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They speak against Muhammad, peace be upon him. They talk against the Quran. And they try to give a meaning of twisted, corrupted points of view that turn people away, to turn even the Muslim children away. And these are ignorant people, and in some cases, even Muslims themselves. And we're seeing this very sad news. But I do have some more good news. There is a clear and effective solution for our problem. And actually, this is a great opportunity for us to represent Islam in the correct way to these people. And one of the works, inshallah, that we will do is based on very simple, beautiful teachings of the Quran and the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can make a difference, but we all have to work together for this effort. And having said that, I would like to bring up a particular question and the subject for tonight, which is, if somebody emails you or you see a website or somebody asks you in person or you see something in the newspaper talking about the word pedophile. This word in English, pedophile, means that this is a man who, or a man or woman could be, who is an adult, but they look for little small children to have sex with. This is a very sad case, and it's actually, of course, haram in Islam. But we want to talk about this because here's how the question is presented. And I'm quoting from an email that comes to me, and it says, how can you be in a religion that accepts and agrees and promotes the idea of even a 53-year-old man having sex with a 6-year-old girl? This is the way the question comes, astaghfirullah, but this is how they say it. It's a very nasty question, actually. I want to mention to you that this actually is an opportunity for you. You can seek to get more knowledge on the subject than what I'm going to give you. I'm just giving you a light topic tonight, but you can delve into it and you'll realize that this can strengthen the iman by the research and the understanding of what you're going to discover tonight. Or you can choose to be like these people, be ignorant and pass off things as though it's correct information when in fact it is not. But now let's begin. Somebody approaches you with this and they say to you, how can you be in a religion that accepts pedophilia? And you say, what are you talking about? They say, when a 53-year-old man can have sex with a 6-year-old girl, I think this is bad. I don't like your religion. How do you respond to that? Well, I'm going to tell you what first came to me the first time. I became almost sick. And I wanted to grab them and shake them for what they had said, because it's a very evil, a very filthy thing to even think such a thing against the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As we know, Allah said He sent him as the rahmat to the alameen. And how could the rahmat to the alameen have such an accusation put against him? But we have to remember some things. In his own life, people charged him with things worse than this. They called him Majnun, crazy. They said he's doing shahr poetry magic and so and so. So, and they even did physically abuse him. Okay, so this happened. But today, what should we do? And how can we use this to an advantage? And I'm saying this is an opportunity actually to twist it and bring this person to a shahada. Now listen again. Bring them to shahada from their own question. So that's why I ask you to make notes so you can see how this works. First of all, I want you to know this. Islam is in Arabic, so you have to know how to translate the word Islam itself. And Islam does not mean peace, so don't begin by telling people Islam is peace. The word salam is peace, not Islam. Islam is a perfected verb. It comes from the root sa-la-ma, sum. And in this form, when it's perfected, it has five meanings built in. Not one, two, three, four, five. It means the total complete surrender to Allah, submission to the commandments of Allah, obedience to Him in all cases, and doing it with total sincerity or purity, and finally doing it in peace. So the word salam is in there. Aslam, taslim, salam. All of this is in this word Islam. So this is a perfected verb. Know that before you even get started. It is not named after the Prophet ﷺ. We do not worship Muhammad. We are not Muhammadans. Okay? And Islam can be for anybody at any time and any place in history, before Muhammad or after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it simply means somebody trying to do what God wants them to do. God has ordained certain things, you're trying to do it. And I was reading the Bible again today. I still, after 13 years, I'm still taking verses from the Bible and showing the Christians. Your own book says the same thing. How many times did I find in the book of John, the book of Luke, the book of Matthew, when it says He's ordering them to follow the commandments of God, do the will of God? I don't speak on my own authority. I speak only what I've been told to say. And that means He's a what? When somebody is speaking a message that he's bringing from somebody, he's a what? Messenger of Allah. And certainly this is what we call Jesus, peace be upon him, the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are messengers of Allah. They're very special messengers. They're very beautiful, and we love them very much, and they are much better than we are, but we don't make them God. We don't pray to Jesus, and we don't pray to Muhammad, but we pray to the same God that they prayed to. And let them know that before you say anything else. Please don't start trying to talk about something out here in left field, because the most important thing is this subject. Even if they misunderstand some of the other things, let them know the message of Islam. La ilaha illallah. Because if you miss this point and you're arguing about how you make wudu, how do you wear your shoes, how do you put a hat on your head, what is the way to eat, how do you go to the toilet, who cares? Islam covers these subjects, yes. After you're in Islam. But you're talking to them about a train ride that they're never going to get because they didn't buy the ticket. Okay, so let's get them on the train and then we'll talk about all the features. Make sense? Everybody with me? All right, so let's go back and see how do we answer the question. And by the way, if you think that there is no evidence for what they're saying, you're wrong. It's in Sahih Bukhari, and the age of Aisha is mentioned as 6 years old. 6 years old. But there's a lot of explanation, and that's what we're going to talk about now. So let's see, how would we handle that? Somebody comes to me, the question, 53 years old man, 6-year-old girl, what do you say next? Watch this. Thank you for asking me about my religion. They're not ready for that. They were thinking you're going to be defensive. Don't be defensive. Don't be defensive. You're not defending anything here. You're going to explain. They came to you. Allah put that person in front of you. This is your chance. Say thank you. Thank you. Smile. Thank you for asking me about my religion. And they'll say, no, I'm trying to start a fight here. You know, what's going on? You're being nice. I don't understand. And you say, no, I know you're an honest person. You're a decent person. And that's why this subject is bothering you, isn't it? Because you're decent. You're a good person. And you don't like to see people oppressed. You don't like to see women abused. Isn't that true? You don't want to see children taken advantage of. Isn't that right? So this is a good sign from you. And that's good. And I want to answer your question about Islam. But before I do, I have to give you some explanation. The word Islam, what does it mean? And who is a Muslim? Anybody who Islams is a Mu-Islam, a Muslim. Because we use the prefix Mu instead of the suffix E-R, er. We don't say he's a submitter. We say he's a Muslim, Muslim. Okay? So it's as simple as that. Let's get started now. I want to tell you, though, before I give you the answer to this, that in Islam, we are forbidden to lie. If I lie, the word in Arabic is kadhab, a liar. He goes to hell. It's not something small to tell a lie in Islam. A liar, one who is habitually a liar, is going to hell. Unless they repent, make tawbah, and turn to Allah, they die as a liar. They're not going to paradise. So for sure, I cannot lie to you. I must tell you the truth, and if I don't know the answer, I have to say I don't know. I have to. It's my religion. Second point, everything in Islam is recorded. You don't have to make anything up. You don't have to go very far to find the answers, because we can go right to the internet, to islamtomorrow.com, and get the answer, because we have it all. We have the books, and we have the translations. We have the teachers. There's no doubt. Okay, so it's not a mystery. You don't have to wait to have a dream or a vision. We have it. It's all right here. The Quran is preserved 100% in the hearts and minds of over 9 million libraries in the world. The original. We have 9 million plus original Qurans around the world. And they are what? Human beings who memorize the Quran. And they're all exactly the same. No difference. Exactly as Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite it. There is no other book on earth that is recited like this. Never has been and never will be. So we have that. Second, we have the hadith, the sayings and teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and these also have been memorized and passed down for generations, and they're written down and they still match today. So there's no doubt that we know what he said, what we think he said, and what he may not have said. Because it's all recorded. So we have evidence for each thing. And by the way, before we begin, I want to ask you a question. Will you accept these evidences, or are you just going to make up something? Do you want proof? Because we have it. And they say, yes, of course. All right, great. Now the next thing, before I give you the answer, I'd like to mention this to you. Sometimes people ask questions that are not really questions. They are statements that are disguised as a question. They put a question mark at the end of their statement. And of course, this won't work. We'll have to straighten that out. And I'd like to give you one example. If somebody came to you and said, if I ask you a question, can you give me a yes or no answer? It's a yes or no question. Can you answer yes or no? You assumingly think they're being fair. You'll say yes, of course. And they'll say, is your mother out of jail yet? Huh? My mother? My mother's in the prison? I don't think so. How can I answer this question? Is she out of jail? Well, she's not in jail, so I'll say, okay, she's out. Then he'll say, well, good, I'm glad she got out of jail. So it's obvious he didn't really have a question. He was trying to just make a statement. And so we have to clarify that. And then finally, while I'm giving you the answer to the question, are you prepared that if you hear yourself say, oh, I didn't know that, and you feel inside of yourself, this is something nice, and then finally your conclusion is, actually, this is the best answer I ever imagined for such a question, then are you going to be prepared to worship your God, your Lord, with no partners, because that's the only reason Allah brought you to me with a question, so that you'll find out there really is a God, and He's one, and He has no partners. Because if in this answer you see something beautiful, and this is a horrible question, I agree with you, but if you see a beautiful answer, then are you prepared to worship God without partners? Every single time I ever asked this question, they always said yes. And then we begin. And where do we begin? We begin with the resource. You're saying to me, a 6-year-old girl and a 53-year-old man, but you don't know where that comes from. You got it off the internet, or you heard somebody say it, or you read it in a newspaper or a book. I, on the other hand, have the resources on my website. I can take you right to the exact hadith in the Lagu Arabiya, in the Arabic language, and then the translation to the English, and let you read it. It's in Sahih al-Bukhari. And it does say 6 years old for the girl, and we know, it doesn't mention it in the hadith, but we do know that he was approximately 50 to 53 years old at that time. Okay, so there's no question that about the numbers. We can prove that. But I'm going to tell you that this saying is coming from who? Who? It's coming from the very girl herself. Who is saying it? The one saying it is the girl. Her name is Aisha, radiallahu anha. So she's giving us the account of what happened, not somebody else. Her. So I'm going to ask you, do you accept her testimony? Do you accept what she says is true, yes or no? Because if you don't accept her testimony, then there's no point in going any further. Do you accept what she says? Yes. Okay, do you accept everything she says, or only when it agrees with what you like? Do you believe her to be a truthful person? Well, you don't know her, but I do, and I know she doesn't lie. If she did, we couldn't take any hadith from her. As I already told you, in Islam, you cannot lie. That's a qualification to have a saying or a teaching in Islam. It has to come from only those who are 100% truthful, not once telling lies, okay? And she didn't tell lies. I accept it, but I don't know if you accept it. They say, oh, sure, yeah, why not? This is very strange for them, because you twisted this in the opposite direction for where they want to go. Because Islam is haq, remember this. Haq means absolute truth. Quran is haq. The deen is haq. The Rasul Sallallahu, his sirah, his biography, it's all haq. And it amplifies, it solidifies, and it brings to fruition this message of La ilaha illallah. So don't be afraid and don't back up. Keep going. Because they're going to go, yeah, I accept what she says. All right, because one of the things she said was, La ilaha illallah. She said there is a God. But she said there's no God worthy to be worshipped except Him. Do you believe that? Because if you don't, then how do you know she told you the truth about everything else? Now you got them thinking already. Do you accept her testimony? All right, now let's go read the hadith, and because I don't have it in front of me, I will tell you what I remember of the hadith in English. She, radiallahu anha, says that she was about 6 years old, and her mother came to her while she was playing outside in the dirt and invited her to come into the house, took her into the house, and her father, now listen to this, father and her mother were there with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there was an offer from her father to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam of marriage, not sex, marriage. Then she says she went back outside and was playing with her dolls in the dirt afterwards. Meaning what? Meaning it didn't happen at that time. Oh. You didn't know that. First one. You say you didn't know that? Okay, fine. Let's continue, though. Because I don't want you to go away thinking that that's all there is to the story. This is a much bigger story. There's a verse in the Quran which is explained through this incident. and that is in Surah An-Nisa, and it's in chapter 4, verse 24. It's talking here, and I'll read it to you from the English translation of Abdullah Yusuf Ali. It said, also prohibited are women who are already married, except those whom your right hand possess, that Allah hath ordained against you. Except for these, all others are lawful, provided you seek for them in marriage with gifts of property, desiring chastity and not fornication. Give them their dowry for the enjoyment you have of them as a duty. But if after the dowry is prescribed, you agree mutually for variation in it, there's no blame on you. Allah is all-knowing and all-wise. Now, it also continues telling us, I want to go back to verse 19. That was verse 24. And tell you, it says, O you who believe. Now, this is somebody that's believing in Allah is one God, worship Him alone. You're forbidden to inherit women against their will. You cannot treat them with harshness that you can take away any part of their dower you have given them, except where they've been guilty of open lewdness. And on the contrary, you have to live with them on a footing of kindness, equity. And if you take a dislike to them, it may be you dislike a thing that Allah brings through it a great deal of good. I recited this one in its entirety, but the focus I want to put on this is what? You cannot marry a girl until she's old enough to make up her own mind. It is obvious that the reason she did not marry the Prophet ﷺ at the age of 6 is because she was not yet old enough to make up her own mind. It doesn't happen again for a number of years when the father again approaches the Prophet, peace be upon him, and asks him, would you marry my daughter? This is a second proposal, an offering here. Actually, it's a standing offer, and they never changed it. It was always an offer here to marry their daughter. Because in those days, it was not strange to anybody, regardless if they were Arab or non-Arab. If anybody wanted to get married to a girl, they could be betrothed even at birth. And this was common even in Europe. And the kings and queens were married off when they were still babies. Of course, they didn't have sex with them because they were babies. But they were married to them from their very birth because they wanted to join countries together and so on. But in the case of this one, in the case of Aisha and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what happens next at approximately age 9 or 10, then this becomes a reality for her because she's now old enough to make up her mind. Why? Because no woman is allowed to go out and make a decision like this on her own until she's old enough to have a baby. Because that's one of the key reasons to get married is to have babies. There is no sex in Islam whatsoever outside of marriage. There is no boyfriend, girlfriend, no engagement party and hanging out, checking out the motels and all the rest of it. This is not permissible before marriage, nor is it permissible after marriage. There's never such a thing as boyfriend, girlfriend in Islam. No mistresses and no girlfriends or any of that. So there cannot be any sexual relationship except with a husband and a wife. That's all which is permitted. Please understand that before we go any further. That's what's been ordained here. That's what's been talked about. And the man came to his best friend in his whole life. And that's Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu. He came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he wanted him to marry his daughter. But it didn't happen until she was old enough to decide. And when she was old enough to decide, immediately, when she was old enough to have a baby. And some girls begin their menstrual cycle at 8 years old, some 9 years old, some 10 years old. In her case, it was pretty close to 10 years old, doesn't matter. But it was to show the human beings that this is the earliest you can marry him, but no earlier than this. Because he also married an example for us of an elderly woman who was even too old to have sex, but he married her and he had to take care of her, and this made it permissible for them to be alone together and not raise any question in the community. So it showed us, he's our example to see what are the extremes and what are the limits. Please understand that Islam is two main things. two main things are in Islam. One, rights. Totally and completely, I am so immersed in this subject of human rights, animal rights, plants' rights, the planet's rights, God's rights, parents' rights, human community rights. All of this is a part of Islam. And I love it. I love it because of these rights. That's one. Second, limitations. Limitations. Because everything in Islam has limits. Limits, limits, limits. You are permitted to do so much, but limited to that. Some areas are highly restricted, others are pretty wide open, but still there's always going to be a limit somewhere. One example is music. Music is permitted, but it's highly limited. There's just a very little bit of stuff you can do with music in Islam. Is that true or false? Okay. Art. Art is very much open in Islam, and you can do drawings of so many things, but there's limits, and you have to stop on those limits. Is that true or false? Okay. And worship is highly limited. It can only be for Allah, and it can only be by the way that Allah ordered it. It cannot be made up, and it can't be to anybody else. So is that a limit? That's a big limit. Okay, so understand rights and limitations. So let's come back now to this beautiful subject of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Aisha radiallahu anhu. Look how she describes it. And you said you'll accept her testimony. She said whenever they had their niqah, their marriage, that she went to him. But she didn't say they had sex. You know what she said? She said they played together. And he even told his companions, if you want to accept what he said, because that's also recorded, he said, when you marry a virgin girl, take her and play with her and have fun and enjoy her companionship and bring her up. He didn't say, go out here and do weird stuff. Okay? This is kinky imagination from people that are too far away from the true teachings of Almighty God. All right, now, the next thing that we find from her is that their relationship was so nice that they used to play together and they used to run, and she would run far ahead of him. But she said, later when I got older, I got fat and he could outrun me. This is recorded. And she said that people used to do like exhibition like calisthenics or athletics or so on in the masjid. They were doing activities. Sports. There you go. And she wants to see what's going on. She said, I didn't really care or see what was going on. I just want to see how long he will stand there with me watching this, because he needs to be there, you know, to protect her. And she just wanted to see how long he'd stand there. She also played a trick on him one time and told him that his breath smelled bad because he'd been eating honey over at another house, and she didn't want him to go over there, so she was telling him stories and playing games with his mind. She told all of this about herself. But nowhere in any hadith, any story, or in Quran do we ever find her speaking against Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam even a word. And I want to ask you, and I want you to be fair, in your own family and your own relatives, do you know any woman who has never ever spoken ill of her husband? Never spoke ill of him or to him? What is your answer, please? And I want you to be honest. This is not a trick question. This is a real question. Okay, next. Next. When she was approximately between 18 and 20 years old, and I say this because we have two different calendar systems. We're using a sun calendar, and we're measuring 365 days. The Muslims use a moon calendar, which measures 354 days. And that's why you see difference of ages. But in any case, so that you'll understand, she is telling us that he died when she was not even 20 years old yet. And we know it from other hadiths. And here's something very interesting. She never married again. In fact, she prevented anyone from really seeing her shape or body or form up close, because she stayed behind a curtain. And when people came to her, they learned a lot about Islam. She became the number one woman scholar in Islam, that all of our women today look to her to find out about important issues of hygiene, cleanliness, having a baby, having intercourse with their husbands, all of these things that we need to know about are coming largely from her. She was the biggest and most fantastic scholar of Islam. And by the way, that lets you know something else. In those days in Christianity, women were not allowed to be scholars. They were not allowed to be priests. In fact, in the 7th century of the church, they were voting in council meetings to decide whether or not a woman even had a soul. Women were permitted in those days by Islam to vote. They were not permitted to vote in this country even 100 years ago. Women, by the verses that I read to you so that you could hear them right out of the Quran, were permitted to keep their inheritance and their properties and own property in their own names. And in the state of Texas in 1950, that was not permissible. My mother could not buy or sell real estate without the permission and the signature of my father. And she was 10 years older than he was. 7 or 8 years old, but she's older than him. So just think what I'm telling you. Then I want to mention this to you. If you took all of the hadith stories from the verified sources that she narrates and he narrates about their relationship, and what Allah said about them in the Quran, because he mentions in Surah An-Nur, a beautiful subject where Allah defends her honor and reputation when she's been charged with being unchaste. But Allah comes to her defense. I want you to do this with me. Let's do this. Let's take all of the correct information, which is books, about the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his wife. I want you to take it and see this relationship, and then let's remove her name. Let's remove his name. Let's remove any date. Let's remove any place, any city, any location, so that nobody knows who we're talking about, a man and a woman. Age is okay. You can leave their age difference in there. But then let's take the story to any psychiatrist that you know. Let's take it to any marriage counselor. Let's take it to Dr. Phil on TV and see what do they say. And they will say to you, you wish you had such a beautiful relationship as what was had by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his beautiful wife Aisha radiallahu anha. And then you can ask them, do you see what Islam brought through this beautiful example? What you came to me was a story about sex. You came to me with an opinion of something very twisted, very sick. But in actuality, you find that wasn't the case whatsoever. In fact, this was two people who were so much in love that when he died, she never even considered another man after that. And when he died, he wanted to be with her in her apartment with his head in her lap, because after Allah, she was the most beloved thing to him and this entire universe. And that is a fact. This is the biggest love story in the history of human beings. And how dare you come with such a sick attitude toward it? But I'm sure you didn't mean to. I'm sure you just didn't have correct information. Now let's come back to the subject and ask again what we talked to you about in the beginning. Did you learn something from this that you didn't know today? Did you see things that you liked for yourself? And are you prepared now to consider worshiping God alone, the one who created everything in the first place, the one who sent down the way for us to live with each other in peace and in harmony? Are you ready to accept that? And if your answer is yes, say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu Muhammad Rasulullah. And, alhamdulillah, I saw them come to Islam from this. For those who came with a sick heart and they didn't want to know, they run away and they never come back. Alhamdulillah, that's fine too. Either come into Islam or get away from Islam. But don't stand around and criticize something you don't know what you're talking about. You're most welcome to learn. We'll sit with you all day long, as long as your mind and heart is open. But the minute you shut down, then get out. It's as simple as that. And subhanAllah, we've seen so many people enter Islam through this approach. And I call it Shahada or shut up. We bring you the truth and you can see it. So that's it. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. You've been listening to Islam Tomorrow. We're doing an almost live broadcast from here in Anaheim. Check us online for more about this subject at IslamAlways.com. IslamAlways.com. And then our regular website at IslamTomorrow.com. Our websites are open 24 hours a day, and there's always plenty of free parking.